you guys are getting an introduction into my marital communications right now. I told Gail, yeah, it's
oh, that's Gail. You
know, yeah, that's Gail.
Hi,
and,
Gail.
And I said, you know, you can get, swing in, you know, 7:30-ish. It's going to be, we're going around till 9.
Are you
going
to make your hair appointment?
You don't. Yeah, and so she's here at 6:30.
Okay.
So this is a window.
So
it's
a compromise, right?
Lack of communication that I apparently have. I communicate with everybody else, just not my wife. Have you guys seen the forecast for Christmas Eve? If you're going to be traveling, it's looking pretty nice here in Michigan. We're not going to. It's going to be like 53 degrees. We're not going to have. It's going to be a very green Christmas. Lloyd, you aren't going to need those long johns.
I won't need them.
That I'm going to take you over and fit you for.
Listen, those long johns, man, as a kid, boy, I wore those long johns. I remember those days.
I don't know if anybody, if Glenn Stevens and Doug Bernstein know this. We welcome Doug Bernstein from Plunkett Cooney and Glenn Stevens from Mish Auto. Do you guys know the long john capital of Michigan?
I don't, and as a youper, I feel like I should know that.
Yeah, the city of Cedar Springs, north of Grand Rapids, used to be home to where you would, they made the red union suit, the red long johns, with the drop seat in back.
Oh, gotta have the drop seat.
The drop seat.
That was kind of a staple for working class folks at the time. Yeah.
And I got accused of having a mind full of useless information.
Well, you should sit in our morning show.
Oh, yeah. Guy Google. Guy Google over here.
Yeah, I've got this little piece of Velcro in my brain, and all the useless junk in the world
Sticks.
Just clings to it. Yeah. We were just talking about, I was talking to Glenn, who's with Mish Auto from the Detroit Regional Chamber, and you were there for the groundbreaking of this, for the Center for Innovation. It just an exciting time. I don't know, it's one of those stories you should look at. I don't know that if people really grasp how important this will be. And 10 years from now, we'll look back on this moment and say, wow, that was a game changer.
It was, just like Michigan Central was, just like Tech Town was. I mean, you have three innovation centers, arguably more. And as the Population Commission just demonstrated, there's three things that are really going to lead us: talent, people, innovation, and communities. And I'll tell you, there was a buzz, and it was really good to see all the leaders together. Great day for the state, the city, and the region, and it will be a great center to complement those other ones. There's a lot going on in Detroit right now.
And what is it, Glenn, do you think it is that has brought these centers in the central train station to the city of Detroit? What is Detroit doing that's drawing this kind of things that are coming here?
Well, your previous guest couldn't have been a better segue, because it's the Startup Nation folks, right? And new ideas, new generation of ideas, that's what built Detroit. I mean, the industries were built on people with new ideas, and that's happening again. And so that confluence of talent and community and innovation is really what's making. I mean, you've been to Corktown lately.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the Godfrey the other night. I mean, it's incredible. And sat in Canal downtown, and I think there's a buzz there and across the state. Speaking of winter, I'm heading to Marquette this afternoon, so we'll see what the weather's like up there. And it's all over the state. It's not just Detroit.
Oh, safe travels, friend.
Thanks. Yeah. That's home.
Yeah, it is back home. And I'm sure you know every fence post along that route.
Yes.
Oh, but that's still a heck of a drive. Can we have another gallon of coffee for Mr. Stevens, please? Doug, you know, we talk about great institutions in Detroit, and with the growth of Detroit, we also want to cling to the old traditions, too. You're a big fan of the boat races. What's the status of that?
If all goes well, the unlimited hydroplanes will be back in Detroit August 24th and 25th.
All right.
We need sponsors. We're on the schedule. It's been a big effort trying to keep this thing alive. Having run the series in 2017, I know what a challenge it is and how expensive it is, but Detroiters are really passionate about that event, and it's been in Detroit since 1916. And if we are able to bring it back, I think the demand will be terrific. But we've been in talks for the past several years, and we finally have a path forward. But as always, takes money.
Yeah. I did stories on that, and they put me in a boat before and took me around. It's very impressive, somewhat scary, but it's fun to look at. And the cup, isn't the cup one of the oldest cups you could win?
It is the oldest motor sports trophy in the world.
Yes. We've got to keep it going.
And I remember, Jamie, when we put you in an inflatable, and I know you don't talk to Bruce Mahdi anymore because of that.
So do you refer to the Indy Trophy as little brother?
We all have our place.
We should also point out that Doug is probably one of the most passionate Wolverine fans out there. You ready for Pasadena?
I'll be leaving Saturday morning, a week from Saturday. I just completed my 46th year of having season tickets. I've missed a handful of home games, and my odometer's not turning back, so, you know. We got to get it done.
Do you think this is the year they at least advance through the semifinal?
They have a chance.
Yeah.
You know, to me, out of the four teams, they're the ones that play defense.
Mm, there you go.
Yeah, so heard how worried here. Are you about Alabama?
What, me worry?
I think it's going to be a lot of maize and blue at the Rose Bowl.
It is, but this is the first time since I've had my tickets. I couldn't get tickets through Michigan. The demand was so great, which was interesting because the ratios were always the same. They always say of 18,000 requests for 12,000 tickets or so, and I was nowhere close to being able to get them through Michigan. So I went online, bought a pair at $480 a ticket for the end zone or the corner of the end zone the next day, and I was watching it every day, and by Saturday it was up to $860.
Wow.
So there is tremendous demand.
Glenn, you're a longtime Michigan guy. Give me your best UP Michigan Christmas memory.
Well, that's a tough one.
Because you experience winter a lot more than we do now.
I think the street I grew up on, I literally grew up on Michigan Street, of all places, 424 East Michigan Street. And it was a Norman Rockwell, right? Older, 100-year-old homes, lights, Christmas trees, snow coming down. That's what it looked like. It was definitely pure Michigan. And, of course, I always liked going through Christmas, too. Christmas is between – the town of Christmas is between Munising and Marquette, so it's always nice to go through Christmas on the way to Marquette.
You never fly?
Never fly, no.
Okay.
No.
How long?
Well, I mean, it depends on the weather. It depends on if the bridge is open. I mean, you'll get stuck with the wind sometimes. I can do it 7.5 hours.
Was it always a white Christmas growing up?
It always was a white Christmas, but it really was. July could be white, too. I'm not kidding. I've seen snow on some really weird times.
You fire up those sparklers to stay warm.
Right.
Well, it's great to have you both here, and you're dear friends of this broadcast and this radio station. We appreciate you celebrating the holidays with us.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
All right.
Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas. And Happy New Year to both of you. By the way, we want to send out thanks to Sherm's Candy for providing everyone with a bag of their – these are pure Michigan, sour Michigummies.
I love sour anything, so yes.
They are gummies in the shape of both peninsulas. They didn't forget the UP, Glenn.
Okay.
Sherm's Candy is a Michigan-based company that specializes in just awesome-tasting candy in the shape of Michigan, and their products include Michigummies, chocolate Michigummies, sour Misha Cinnamons, and the brand-new strawberry-flavored Misha Minis. Find a retail location near you and order direct at Sherm's, that's with a U, S-H-U-R-M-S, candy.com. More from Startup Nation as we celebrate the holidays on JR Morning. Welcome back to Startup Nation, 10 to the hour. As we said, they're looking, the forecast is going to be kind to us over the Christmas holiday if you're going to be traveling. And talk to Glenn Stevens. Can you imagine a 7.5 hour drive home every time?
Wow.
No.
Working down here.
Mine's 4.5 to Pittsburgh-ish. 4.5.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just need that time to just kind of, you know.
Very true.
And just, Glenn loves driving.
Yeah.
And this is what JR podcasts are for. Right?
Exactly.
There you go.
TheGreatVoice.com.
You can take the great voice with you, even as that 50,000-watt mother of all signals begins to fade.
That's right.
Somewhere around Houghton Lake. That will stay with you. We welcome in one of our dear friends who has provided us with so much legal wisdom over the past year, Todd Flood, attorney and managing partner at Flood Law. Merry Christmas
Merry
to
Christmas.
You and yours.
Thank you so much, and the same to all of you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's nice to see you in person.
Yes. Now, faced with the name.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's always been a pleasure, and thanks for having me on. And you're too kind. So, and I love the new show. I love the three of you. It's
Thank
awesome
you.
To listen to three of you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's kind of a love fest every morning. You know, you better, if you're going to get up this early in the morning, you better like the people that you work with.
Yeah.
That's right? And that makes it easy.
That could be a bad gig.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah. Well,
you know what I'm saying?
There have been some notable feuds in this business over the years.
Yes, they have.
Yeah.
But does it ever slow down for you?
No, it doesn't. As time comes, you know, on this journey of practicing law, I think it's just getting busier and busier and busier. And unfortunately, there's this basic collision in the middle because we had the pandemic. A lot of courts got backed up, right? And now we got to jam in. Trials and courts are working there. Took us as off to try to get as much in as possible. And then you have the new cases that are coming in, right? So it's frustrating at times, but we'll get through it. But right now it's just insanely busy.
Are people just mad too?
Yeah,
they're just mad at each other and just kind of
it
really litigious. You know, at this point,
it depends on what kind of law you practice. But yes, there clearly there's a lot of things on the landscape. I was just looking at we talked about it not too long ago with the archdiocese and the statute of limitations and older rape cases, the new statute that comes in play. Now you look at our United States Supreme Court, look at all the things that are going on there with Trump and the like. So, no, I don't know if people are mad, but I definitely think there's a lot of interesting issues on the horizon here.
Mm-hmm. A lot has changed since the pandemic in our lives. My husband tells me that when it's a civil case, they're still just doing Zoom. So even the legal profession has changed since the pandemic and people are home more.
I think it's become more efficient in certain ways. We do Zoom hearings for things that are remedial or you don't necessarily need to drive. You save clients a lot of time because you could do two or three Zooms in different circuit courts. But when you're doing an evidentiary hearing, you have evidence, or you're doing a jury trial, you got to be there in front of the jury. So I think they've come up with this hybrid where you can do and be in three different circuit courts.
Like arraignments.
Right, arraignments. You can be up in.
Does that mean you can double and triple bill?
Well, that's what saves you. That's what saves you, right? You have less windshield time, right? So you were just talking about that six-hour drive, right?
Go.
Yeah. So I'm saving you some money. Not a bad feature, right? But it is more efficient, I think, in several ways. But you still have to be in front of a jury. And think about it, when you're questioning a witness, one of the jury instructions says, how was the posture of the witness? Did he, you know, move in his chair? Did he take a long time to answer? Mm-hmm. Zoom, you're not getting that. You're not getting that kind of feedback.
The nuance.
Right. So it's interesting.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you. You mentioned the Supreme Court. But we haven't heard yet whether they're going to take up the Colorado case. They also have the Trump immunity case. I guess Trump's lawyers have now filed saying, yeah, you don't need to do that so fast.
Right.
They would like to have that adjudicated after the election when perhaps a Trump Justice Department could call off the hounds. But what as you look at this 14th Amendment case, it's so untested and untried. I don't think we've seen it since 1916. What do you think about it?
Well, I think two thoughts. I was just talking to Lloyd about this earlier. You know, if you're a strict scrutiny guy where you're a textualist, right? You're a Scalia, Justice Scalia reader of the law.
Mm-hmm.
Justice Scalia is going to tell you, guy, this is what the law says. Here's the only interpretation you can have. And the Supreme Court in Colorado got it right. Now, here we had now, mind you, they had a hearing. They had witnesses testify. They got it all the way up. And there was clear and convincing evidence that this insurrection he was part of and made that happen.
That's all you need.
You need to be able to establish by that standard, right?
It's self-executing, and I think a lot of people don't know what that means.
Yeah. So when you ultimately pose this insurrection, right, there has to be some proof, some modicum of proof. We say it clear and convincing evidence. So the lawsuits took place, the witnesses got up on the stand, and you're absolutely right. So I think Michigan decided, hey, Trump stays on the ballot, that's going to go up to the Supreme. I think with so many different states having different opinions, the Supreme Court of the United States has got to hear this case.
Yeah.
And it's going to be heavy. It's never been in front of the United States Supreme Court. So this is a big, big deal. I think one of the biggest in our country, especially since Trump, it looks like the landslide leader for the Republican Party.
They can redefine democracy with this decision.
Absolutely.
Do you think it'll be unanimous?
I don't think it will be unanimous. I don't. You know, the political side of this whole thing is people are going to say, hey, listen, this is too much on the fray, and it's a disruption. The people have to vote. The court shouldn't vote. The people should vote on who the next president is. And that's how I think it's going to kind of come up. You don't want to disenfranchise the voters, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if the
right.
Republican, you know, if that's their nominee, that's who you want to put on the ballot. So I think it's going to fall along political lines, just to say the truth.
All right. Todd, have a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year. We look forward to future encounters.
God bless everyone. Thank you so much. Merry Christmas.